I was trying so hard to prove to the music industry, to myself, that I was good enough, yeah, and I was a winner, mm-hmm, and that I was worthy of the accolades. And it absolutely exhausted me because nothing was ever good enough.
I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Hey everyone, welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. I have an important question for you, and how you answer it will determine how much joy and peace you have in life. Where does your value come from? Is it in what you do for a living or how successful you are? Or do you find your worth in who you are in Christ? Today, a vital and life-giving discussion from Joyce's Talk It Out podcast with our special guest, music artist Riley Clemens. I hope you are encouraged by our conversation and that it challenges you to reevaluate how you see yourself. Today, we're talking about what are you thinking about yourself? And knowing who God says we are, it almost sounds pat because we say it so much, but if we don't really dig into it, mm-hmm, and let it sink into our spirit on a regular basis and not just at one point, because it's not like, oh, I get it and I'm, yeah, done now. You know, it's a walk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're going to be talking so much about, okay, that today. So Riley, I really want to know, because as an artist, as a musician, I mean, you've had some wonderful accolades. You were, was it 2021? You were nominated as Female Artist of the Year by K-Love fans. And, you know, you've had, in fact, your song Fighting For Me is really important to all of us because we've used it as one of our Project Girl theme songs.
It's I got to witness that at the last women's conference, and my mom and I were just losing it. We hardly held it together watching that video. It was so special.
Well, it just is wonderful for us to be able to, you know, partner in that, because the message of that song was so great, and it, yeah, really goes along with Joyce's heart and the heart of everything we do to help women and girls around the world.
Amazing.
But being able to, okay, here you are, you're in front of all of these people, and you're doing well in your music career, you're a beautiful young woman. How do you keep your feet on the ground and remember who you are, and not who that audience is telling you you are, or even the audience that doesn't maybe love a new song that comes out? How do you deal with all that?
Well, Ginger, that is a great question. The answer to it, honestly, I'm learning every day. It's different every day. Mm. I think that I'm 24 now, and I started in the industry when I was really young, and my brain, I mean, I think all of us would agree that at any age, we're always learning and growing, but the past few years have been full of so much learning, just constantly, yeah, trying to seek wisdom, trying to grow, trying to be better than I was yesterday, trying to be more like Jesus. And I have done it so imperfectly and learned so much, but it's been a constant challenge. It's a recommitment every single day to not fall into the temptation to believe what the world might expect of me or say of me. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I was, candidly, it was moments like last week, I made the mistake of picking up my phone and reading through comments, and I was playing a Bible trivia, yeah, game online and missed one and read the immediate comment of, oh, how disappointing. How could she not know that? And she says she's a Christian, and it can get to you sometimes.
Yeah,
so I'm a long-winded kind of gal, so you're gonna have to cut me off. But but there's no process other than wake up and pray hard that God gives me the grace and the, yeah, wisdom to just tackle whatever's in front of me.
Well, is it tempting for that value to come through success?
Absolutely.
Rather than the basis of what God did for us?
Of course. That's the whole struggle, right?
Yeah.
I, by my very nature, am a very ambitious type A. I like the idea.
Welcome.
She fit it so well.
Welcome.
So, yeah, happy to be here.
You're in good company.
I love organization. I love a plan. I love goal setting and getting to those goals. And the same thing that drives me to want to work hard and to want to perform well is the very thing that bullies me sometimes.
Yeah.
And
that's,
you know,
a good way to put it.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
It, yeah, does, yeah, right? And looking, and whether it's the constant comparison cycle of looking at your peers, mm-hmm, and wondering, well, how are they charting on the music charts this week?
Yeah.
Or how is their song doing? Or how did my show go? And that's my struggle. Mm-hmm. I have always struggled with comparison. That is something that I have had to work on and recommit to and grow from and all of that good stuff. And there was actually a big turning point moment for me at the top of 2022. I was absolutely miserable. Mm-hmm. I was so beat down bad because I felt like my own ambitions kept on letting me down. Mm-hmm. I was trying so hard to prove to the music industry, to myself, that I was good enough, yeah, and that I was a winner, mm-hmm, and that I was worthy of the accolades. And it absolutely exhausted me because nothing was ever good enough.
Yeah.
And it made me fall out of love with music. I had no desire to write anymore. And I felt such a strong nudge from the Lord saying, Riley, you have to stop before you burn out.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
And so I called my team early in 2022 and told them all I had to take some time to get away and refocus.
That had to be hard to make that decision.
It was scary, you know, that, yeah, you're tempted to believe that what all this that I've built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm losing momentum. Yeah. But it was one of the best decisions I've ever made and led to a season of inspiration and creativity that created this past album and created this new season of music and ministry. And it's been really, I've learned so much from it.
Yeah.
It's interesting when God asks you to give something up like that, like in all of our lives, it does show you where you might have struggles and insecurity, because when it's that hard to give it up, mm-hmm, you realize, well, I was too connected to that thing. I found too much of my identity in,
yes,
that thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give it to you because that's scary.
Right. And yeah, I think so much of what I've learned too is the culture of the world that we live in, that I've grown up in, social media culture. The first social media app was downloadable when I was 12 years old. Nobody knew what it was.
Wow.
And I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You were like 14.
Yeah. I know. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I did not have that same experience. But go ahead. I love hearing.
None of them are going to believe you, girl. None of them are going to believe you.
This is
you.
So important for,
yes,
for so many people who that has been the guideline, the bar, mm-hmm, that I need to reach, what I, mm-hmm, see on social media.
Yeah. It's such a lie when you're constantly culture. Secular culture, particularly, there's that temptation to find identity in success, mm-hmm, ambition, accolades, likes on a post, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
I think there's very few people that don't go through that, hmm, initially. You know, if I look back at the beginning of my ministry, because I laugh, you're 24 and I was such a mess when I was 24. It was unbelievable. And, of course, God didn't call me into the ministry until I was 32. But my motives were mixed. Mm. You know, if I look back, I didn't know it then. But part of it from being abused and being insecure from that, I wanted to prove that I had worth, yeah, and value. But I didn't even really know that's what I was doing. Huh. I think, right, a lot of times we're not even aware, mm-hmm, of what we're doing. And so our whole life is a learning lesson, and you, at least for me, it's been, the older I get, the more I'm able to relax and know what's really important. And even like getting ready to come here today, I started out and I said, Lord, help me do this today. And then I said, well, never mind, you don't need to help me, just do it through me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And
right,
so it really, I mean, without God we're nothing. Mm-hmm. And the more you learn that, mm-hmm, the more peace you can be in. And God really doesn't want us to be like anybody else. He doesn't want us to compare ourselves with anybody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But initially, I think everybody is going to do that. I think there's some things that you can only learn by making the mistakes and finding out what makes you unhappy. And you caught yourself before you got burnout. Mm-hmm. I got burnout 3 times.
Really?
Very seriously.
What was that like for you?
Well, I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick. I remember Well, one time I did 13 weekends in a row on the road, and I drove by my office and I stuck my tongue out at it.
It's a good sign. Something's off.
And I said, I don't even want to hear the name Joyce Meyer. And I wanted to, like, if I have too much time being all spiritual, then I start wanting to be domestic. And one time I decided I was going to cook, and I went out and bought about $500 worth of spices.
And
all these recipes book, and I made a tuna casserole that was so dry nobody could swallow it. So
that's honest.
We decided that wasn't my calling.
No.
I was a good cook when my kids were little, but I went so many years without cooking. And, yep. You know, I just, it's so interesting when you get to my age to listen to people at your age or, you know, any of you girls and just think, yep, I remember that. I remember that.
Wow. Yeah.
But the thing is you, I think we learn more by our mistakes than we do by our successes.
That's well
said.
And, you know, humility is the hardest virtue to come by and the hardest one to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one experience for me that has been interesting is like being on television, I get recognized in public sometimes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, in the beginning, that would just make me feel so good, you know.
Yeah.
And so then God would cut it off and nobody would recognize me for a long time.
Yeah.
And then gradually, I mean, it took a few years, but I got to the point where that doesn't mean anything to me now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm happy that I'm blessing the people, but I don't, like, it doesn't make me feel important because they, but you have to work through those things. And so people watching today, they can learn something different from every one of us because we're all in different, all in leadership, but all in different places in our life.
Yeah.
And I'm probably more relaxed than any of you because I've been through it all.
Riley, let me tell you this secret.
That's good.
In these shows, especially topics like this, Joyce is really good at saying things mostly to me, Aaron, don't do that anymore. Just stop that. Let it go.
I receive
calm down.
That.
So just let her tell you too. We don't need to worry about it. It's going to all be okay.
Hey, that's biblical.
Calm down,
that's
Aaron.
That's biblical right there.
It is.
You can't add a day to your life by worrying.
Yep.
Yeah. It's all going to get okay. You'll get there. Just always remember humility. That's pride was the devil's sin. And that's the one thing probably above everything else that he will attack us with.
Over and over and over.
Over and over
when you think
again.
You're doing okay.
You know, let's talk for a minute about what are some of the ways that pride manifests, because it's very good at hiding.
Ooh.
And the proud person doesn't think they're proud because they're too proud to admit they're proud.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a lot of pride.
That's a lot of pride going around.
What do you think, Ginger? What are some of the ways that pride manifests?
Oh, there are so many things, like you said, that you don't realize it's pride. Insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
People think it's because they are not secure enough in who they are, but the reason for that is pride, because they want to be lifted up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it seems like opposites, but they really go together. I think impatience so often is a lot about pride.
I wish you wouldn't have said that one.
The Lord is speaking to Joyce over here.
No, I say it because I live it too. And God's constantly talking to me about it. It's like, you're not more important than that person.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have to be impatient with them or with me, you know?
Right.
Wow, talk about pride. Some of those issues with God are about our pride. It's because we think we know better what we should have. The list goes on and on.
Not
and
being
on.
Able to take correction.
Oh, yeah.
Woo. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, you know, it's always like, I mean, my husband just loves to tell me what to do.
And do you love that?
I've been married 57 years, and because I'm independent, I mean, he tells me little stuff like, how to get out of the bathtub and, you know, be careful about this and that. And I started out thinking, well, do you think I'm stupid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I realize now that he really just, a man wants to take care of a woman. That's in their nature. They want to make sure you don't get hurt.
Yeah.
So he's really telling me these things for my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But for a long time, I took it like he thought I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's pride.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to tell me anything. I know what I'm doing.
Oof.
And it's just interesting how many different ways pride always wants to talk instead of listen.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Yeah. That's so good.
Matter of fact, most of the time, pride is thinking about the answer while you're still talking.
Oh, I hear you.
And what about Aaron? Can you think of any other way pride manifests?
Even this morning with what you're saying, Joyce, somebody not even corrected. They just had an opinion about something that I did some work on. And mm-hmm. they said, I think we could do this better. And my first go-to was, so I'm not smart enough. Like, I'm not good enough to do that. You don't think I can do my job? And I recognized right away that's insecurity in me. That's my pride. Mm-hmm. Their idea was really good. And mm-hmm. we should do what they suggested. But
can I ask you a question?
Maybe I'll answer.
Are you a perfectionist?
In some ways, yes. And things like that. Like, I don't feel the need to make everything exactly right. Mm-hmm. But I do feel a need to for people to know that I can do my job.
Yeah.
Or that I can be a really good mom.
That's good. Yes.
So it's more of like an overall perfection.
I get that. I feel like that's something I've struggled as a perfectionist. I struggle big time with OCD. That's been a big thing for me over the years, is figuring out how that works and how to pray through that and be faithful through it. And a big thing that I've noticed is because I'm so perfectionist minded, I have had a hard time when people tell me, I wouldn't do it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I don't think that's correct. Or, hey, this isn't, that would really bug me. That would really get under my skin to the point of where I would go to this place of, how could I be so wrong? Mm-hmm. And then it would go to that self-loathing cycle that's so unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So I just, I related to that.
How did I miss that? Goes into, what else am I missing?
Yeah. Yes.
And then, you
know nothing.
Yes.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
One of my husband's favorite things to say to me is, are you sure?
Oh, that's
when
the worst.
When I say something,
the worst.
Are you sure? Ooh. And I'm like, Dave, I'm always sure.
He doesn't say calm down then, does he? Because that is when it's over.
Ooh.
That's the one that pushes you over the edge.
Are you sure? That's just scary. Calm down.
Are you sure? Do not ask me if I'm sure. I am sure.
That's so good. Another one for me, now that we're talking about it, is, I mean, envy is a big area.
Oh, yeah. Like,
we talked about comparison. Envy is a big spot where I notice that pride pops out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, where you feel that sense. And that's what I've learned. God has taught me so intentionally in this season. When my brain goes to the spirit of comparison, when I start mm-hmm. to compare myself, you know, I really have to look in the mirror and go, Riley, why?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do you think that? Where is the pride coming from that you think you deserve mm-hmm. this more than somebody else? Mm-hmm. Or you think that you have to have the same thing?
And why isn't there enough
conversation?
Yeah, it is. Why isn't there enough success to go around for everybody?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
because we
one.
Do kind of feel that way.
We
they
do.
Got it, therefore I didn't.
And what is a success really in God's eyes?
Good.
Yes.
That's good.
And looking at those things so differently really
helps.
What
we think is success is not what God thinks is success. Mm. You know, a real success is somebody who has a really close relationship with God. Mm. Spends time with him, loves people, wants to help people. Mm. You know, there's nothing more important to God than helping people. He's not into our popularity or our titles or that. You know, we can put a Christian label on it and still be just like the world.
Yeah. That's right.
And we just have to be so careful. I love that scripture in Romans. It says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But see yourself according to the grace of God. It's talking about the gifts.
It's good.
And whatever I can do, I can only do that because God has enabled me to do that.
Yeah,
it's good.
And
yeah,
I would have a tendency, not as much anymore, but I've had a tendency to, like, if I'm good at something and you're not, then what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And we really have to learn that not everybody can do. If we could all do the same thing, then there wouldn't be a need for all these different people. God gives us different gifts. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Paul compares it to the body and how the body functions,
right.
You know, together as one.
Yeah.
And boy, if we could just get happy with our part and... Yeah, I wrote a book recently on success, and I've written one on finding the will of God. Mm. And, you know, the biggest majority of people in the world are not ever going to be on a platform.
Mm.
They're going to be
falling up their steps at work.
Yeah. They're going to be housewives, ditch diggers, and window washers, and, you know.
And important things.
Can't they be a success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what really is a success? Yeah. A success is not being on a platform and having everybody stand up and clap every time you walk in the room.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that may be a worldly success, mm-hmm. but is heaven clapping?
Yeah, that's so great.
Ooh.
I think it comes around so much to what you've said so many times, that it's not what we do, it's who we are. It's mm-hmm. not your do, but your who.
Right.
Not your who, but your do.
Wait a minute.
Why did you say it? I liked it a lot.
It's your who and not your do that's important.
Yeah, that one.
Right.
It's your who and not your do.
So we are going to take a look at a little segment with Joyce teaching on that, because I think it helps so much for us to realize where our worth and value comes from and who we really are that matters. So let's listen to that and we'll be right back.
It is amazing how we act to get some kind of a material free gift. And yet, let me tell you something, you are loaded on the inside. You are loaded. You have God in you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All the fruit of the Spirit is in you. You've been justified and sanctified and made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's impossible to grow. It's impossible to get from the test through the monies. Is this making sense? To the testimony. They kind of go together. You have the test, you get the monies, then you finally get them together. Now you got a testimony. But it's impossible to get from the test through the monies to the testimony unless you learn really who you are in Christ, and that your who is totally different than your do. I suffered so unbearably with guilt and condemnation. Oh my gosh. Felt like a lifetime of a nightmare. If I didn't feel wrong, I didn't feel right. It started in my childhood because of the abuse, and the devil got me convinced there was something wrong with me. And from then on, I had this little record playing in my head, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me? Comparing myself with everybody else. I'd like to say that it stopped when I received Christ and got into the church, but it didn't. I just took it then to a spiritual level. I still compared myself with everybody else. Now it was just Christians I was comparing myself with. And then even after I became a preacher, I compared myself with other preachers. It never stops until we learn who we are in Christ, that we are individuals in Christ, and He has an individual plan for our lives, and that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. There's only an opportunity for repentance. And getting in that elevator and pressing penthouse and going back up to the top floor. Yeah, sometimes we fall to the basement. Sometimes there are rough days. Sometimes there's hard times. There's things that we don't understand. But in the midst of all of it, God loves us.
So during those basement times, during those hard days, what do we do with our thinking mm-hmm. to keep us from getting back into that comparison trap, or to get into that, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, like you were saying?
Well, you know, something that keeps coming to my heart that I think our listeners and viewers need to understand is we're all talking about things where we've been able to be honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And until you can do that, you can't get anywhere.